Now, this album is wonderful. It's called Arrivals. It's music from Declan O'Rourke. And this is the title track. And Declan afterwards.
It's really good to see you. So long since you've been home. You look so good, life has been good to you. But the lines on both our faces show how long you've been away. You lose a half a lifetime when you look the other way. He spends a lot of time these days just like an old sleeping lion in the chair. He's still so strong, you know it, but the work is here and there. And he's so proud, he'd never let you know. There's so much to talk about, but anyway, it's so good to have you home.
Now, that is a track from Arrivals from Declan O'Rourke. Now, you know it's Marty Recommends All this week, and we've been loving it. Declan, good morning.
Good morning, Marty, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, and all the better for you making this beautiful, beautiful music. It's just... Do you know what? I listened to the album. You were very good. You sent on... Yeah, the single releases as they came. And I sat at home listening to them. But when I got the album, I just said, OK, I'm just going to sit back and let this wash over me. And it's like, whatever way it's been put together, whatever way you wanted it to be, it's like you're in the room with me. It's absolutely stunning.
Oh, magic. That's the effect, I suppose, we hope to achieve. So that's a great sign.
Well, it is. And I couldn't get over the fact that you recorded this so quickly.
Yeah, I always like to work that way. I mean, my first record, Kyabram, was recorded in 10 days, I think. I think we might have rehearsed for 5 and then recorded in 5.
Yeah.
So it was pretty similar, and it's the best way to work. I think, you know, working to a deadline is the greatest way to achieve anything, isn't it? But
yes.
When I was talking to Paul about doing this, we both agreed it was the way we like to work, and performance based, just as if you're, you know, just stick mics in front of me and I play the songs the way I play them anytime, you know.
Yeah.
That might sound unusual to people because they expect that that's what you do anyway, but in some studios they want you to split things up and do your vocals separately and do your guitar separately and everything, and it always takes something away. It makes it easier for them technically, but it does not benefit the recording, I always feel.
Sure. And when you and Paul Weller sat down to decide on this, he was quite open to the way you wanted to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. He was beautiful to work with, even before we decided we were actually working together, if that makes sense. I asked him if he had ever produced anyone before, and he just felt like the right guy to ask, and he really got my music and that. But, he didn't jump in straight away. He sounded excited, but he said, can you send me some songs? So I knew it was great. It wasn't just for the sake of it. He wanted to hear if, you know.
And Declan, how did you meet him? How did you meet up?
We were back in 2005, I think.
Yeah.
And I had my record, the same one I was talking about there, had been out here for since the year before, but we felt we'd taken it as far as we could in Ireland. We wanted to see what we could do internationally, and we went looking for an international label, you know, and we signed up with V2 in London.
Yes.
And he was on that label. He was new to it as well. They were signing up a load of people, and you know, that didn't mean much to me because there were loads of people on the label. I didn't really think anything of it. And then somebody, one of the A&R team, told me they'd given him my record and that he loved it. And I kept hearing this over a couple of months, and I was saying, this is bullshit. They're, yeah. my French, yeah. but they're, you know, pouring smoke into my pocket here, you know.
Exactly.
And out of the blue one day, I was in Whelan's on a Sunday afternoon having a little session, and the phone rang. It was a UK number, and I answered, and it was Paul Weller, and I thought it was somebody messing.
Of course.
But he was...
he didn't have a couple of
drinks on him at the time. He was still, you know, he's been off the drink for a long time now, I think.
Yeah.
But he sounded kind of merry, and he was just, you know, said lovely things. And when it kind of grew from there, and he invited me to open a show in London, a very small club. Not long after, it was called the 100 Club. I think he was...
Yes, I know it, yeah.
Doing a warm-up for receiving an award or something, and that was the first time I met him in the flesh. Just a lovely, absolutely lovely man. Very, very gentle and kind of affectionate and just real sweetheart, you know.
Isn't that lovely? Well, you see, a kindred spirit too in many ways. And I think about like the Jam and how raucous they were in their own way and how important they were, to be honest. And then I think of the Style Council, which was a completely different style of music that he developed, and then his own stuff. Like, his wealth of musical knowledge and his own style to mix it with yours is quite something. And the fact that he sees and hears what you have to offer and appreciates it and gets it is so important when somebody's there working with you at this close level, yeah?
Oh, it's very gratifying to get an endorsement from somebody like that, because, as you said, he's had lifetimes in the business, numerous lifetimes. Mm. You know, and, you know, that kind of informed me. That was what kind of clicked the trigger for me in asking him. I was listening to his latest record at the time, which he's had another one out since, and he's made another one since then during lockdown.
Yes,
but True Meanings was out at the time, and I just stuck it on the turntable here and was listening away, getting the little fella ready for creche, and I could hear that the decades of studio experience, you know.
But that's what it is.
I'd been thinking of asking somebody to come in on this record, because I knew I hadn't really ever worked with somebody before as a producer. I didn't even know what one was when I made my first record, really. But
yeah,
it just clicked to me, and I thought, Jesus, maybe this is the guy. And it was going to be like a stripped down record, as far as I was concerned. So.
But you see, yeah, and it is, and it has that intimacy that comes across so obviously on it. Incidentally, The Harbour is such an amazing song. I didn't realize until somebody told me that it's kind of a tribute to Joni Mitchell.
Yes,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I had a chunk of it written, I think, and it was around the time we were hearing all the stuff about her not being well. She was a huge, I can't tell you how big an influence she was on me when I was a teenager. And I was, you know, like when I was 15 or whatever and my voice dropped, it fell into my boots. It was just, you know, I didn't know what to do with it. I had kind of designs on singing before that, maybe as a kid. I liked singing.
Sure.
I wanted to be a musician to start with, but when that kind of happened, I couldn't sing anything I liked singing anymore, and through singing along with other people's records, and I was writing songs at the time, but I presumed they were for somebody else, you know. I wasn't a singer at that stage.
Yeah.
And I used to sing along with her records. Of course, I was inhabiting this other realm of my voice, which was kind of falsetto. It was where I learned to use that upper range, and I feel really comfortable in that realm, you know. I've heard to thank for it. She's like my musical mammy or something, you know.
Oh yeah, I know.
And I was just kind of writing that song, thinking of her a little bit and her style. But she had a song on my favorite record of hers, Ladies of the Canyon.
Wonderful. Well, that's the album that so many of us got into. I mean, Clouds, or Blue rather, is another one. But there's a great, you know, that song on Ladies of the Canyon, For Free. What a song.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Love it, yeah.
And it's so deep. It's so deep in terms of its meaning.
It's gorgeous. And
stuff.
And then little clarinet at the end and everything.
Yeah,
it's just
absolutely.
Gorgeous,
she's very special.
But that song itself, Ladies of the Canyon, had three women in it. that she had encountered somewhere, you know. Each verse was about a woman. And so I decided I'd make the harbour. Each verse was about a man that I'd encountered in my life that, you know, made me think something or some fundamental shift.
Yeah.
And that's how, yeah.
That's how, well, it's beautiful. And here it is.
Johnny cooks a steak from Little's on a Friday night. After spending all the week long working hard laying tiles, tells me she made me feel so used, but I leave all that behind. See, I was making real good money then, I had 10 men laying tiles. And he's standing in the doorway of our little kitchenette, puffing on one of these new crazed electric cigarettes. I imagine he must get lonely, but if he does, he keeps it all in jail. But when you're guarding a prison, how do you choose what to be? An older friend named Pete who sometimes helps me with my trees. Likes to talk about old girlfriends and the places that he's been. He talks about his hippie days and how he settled here by chance. But he's always been a hippie since the time he lived in France. And he plays all kinds of music and sometimes he might sing. Where will all that go to when we miss him now some spring? I like to listen to him talking. He tells funny and wise tales. Says when you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
I'm chatting with Declan O'Rourke. Actually, Declan, listen, this event tonight is you're at the Abbey Theatre tonight. That's an amazing event.
I'm really looking forward to it, yes, yeah.
Now, how long is it since you actually, I was going to say did a live gig, but you know what I mean by that, because people are going to be able to see you play music. So how long is it since this has happened?
December 2019,
my God.
Yeah, so even 3 or 4 months before lockdown, bear in mind I've been gigging somewhere practically every week for 19 years prior to that, nearly 20 years. Actually, 20 years, because it was the end of 19. I came home from Australia at the end of 99, and I started a couple of weeks later and never stopped. And just when I was making this record, a new manager on board, Suzanne Doyle, she's brilliant, and one of the first things we decided was that I should just, you know, take a little break for a while and maybe just concentrate on kind of best way to put out this record and allow a bit of demand to build up, because I'd never not been available. And
yes, I know what you mean.
Fell into lockdown then, so it turned out to be.
But was that very weird for you? Because you know, you and I would chat. You'd be on various programs and all the rest of it. But did you not find that very, very difficult to do?
No, I absolutely loved it.
Really?
I absolutely thrived on it, and you know, I was. Well, on two different levels. One was that we have a little boy here, and you know, this record actually was a whole, both the charting and the manifestation of my attempt to change the way I approach my career and to have some kind of semblance of a balanced life.
Yes.
Alongside it, and so it was a gift to be able to spend time with my family here and to concentrate on creativity in a way that I could never in all those years, you know, to could really throw myself into it. And, you know, during lockdown, I worked in my studio here I missed one day out of 6 months, 7 days a week.
See, you were working all the time.
You know, so that was one thing, but I was extremely lucky in the other sense that many of my friends and colleagues in the industry, when lockdown kicked in and they had tours planned and what have you, everything, they had to reschedule everything and everything was up in the air. And I was extremely lucky I didn't have to juggle all that, you know.
No. Well, listen, this event that's happening tonight. Now, listen, I want to ask you another question. You've teamed up with Irish Arts Centre in New York for this. Is this a plan now to do it outside of Europe, to think about America?
Well, I've had a great relationship with the Irish Arts Centre for years. They've been
extremely
supportive. And
yeah.
They're just great friends of mine on a number of different tiers, you know.
Sure.
Professionally, and they came on board and kind of supported us financially as well in terms of putting this together. So it was great credit to them, and they just really helped us to put it together. I don't know if I'm answering your question about is this the way forward.
Well, I'm just thinking because people know you outside of Ireland. You're known in Europe, you're known in Australia, you're known in America. But it's just when I saw in bold print the American thing, I kind of went, okay, is this kind of saying, okay, who's this guy with reams of talent and quite a history that is now launching this brand new album, that maybe that this was, that you were going to try and make a mark in America in a real sense when the openings come and you're able to go there?
Well, I'd absolutely love to. And
I guess,
part of, we'll say, if I'm really honest with you, part of the whole plan for this record and this, I talked to you about manifesting and kind of charting this different path I wanted to take.
Yes.
And we'll say two and a half years ago, but just on the eve of making this record, before I even spoke to Paul, I had this bunch of songs, and but I had made four records 4 years in a row, managing myself. I've been fiercely independent, really, since, a kind of fallout with record companies in, 2007 and 8. I'd given all that a go.
I know.
Trying to run it my own way and without the evil industry and what have you. And it wasn't working. I felt I was throwing my whole life into it. I felt like it was saying to me, you're going to give me that much, I want more. I want everything. I want your whole life if you want to be successful at this, you know?
Yeah.
And I was seeing it as a nit.
Oh, I understand.
You know, I just said, I'm not going to do this anymore because I want...
But it's very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy.
Family life, yeah. I didn't want, a child coming into the world. And so I sat down, and a great friend of mine gave me some advice. He just said, sit down, have a little talk with the universe.
Yeah.
You know, say it out loud and your answer will come, you know. And I ended up, I decided, okay, I'm going to make a great record. I'm going to work with somebody, hand over the reins. I'm going to actually let go now. And I pulled out every business card I'd ever gathered up. I said, I'm going to get a new manager, a great manager. I'm going to get a record deal, something I'd been, kind of determined not to do for a number of years.
Sure.
An international touring agent. And I kind of let go. And I said, I'm going to hand it all over. And did you feel a great release? It was the greatest thing. And to see it just start to happen.
Wow.
And I just wanted to be able to have more time to live a balanced life and to be creative and to let someone else do that job, which is the job that they do.
And is a little bit of that feeling for you, did it come about also around the time of the writing of The Stars Over Kinvara?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm, I would have thought so. Because you're describing just that, where you're seizing the moment and you're standing back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was, and it came out, and that's one of the things about making the record fast as well. You can kind of, it's the emotion is very raw, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Like the song Arrivals there, when we listened to that, and we were kind of deciding on, you know, usually when you record a song, there'll be a few different takes of it you've done, and you choose what's the best one and
sure
work on that. And with Arrivals, I had said to Charles, who was recording, the engineer, I said, just let me get familiar with this piano here, and I'm just going to tinker away and noodle away. And by the time, you know, I spent 15, 20 minutes playing away, and then I said, right, let's go. So he pressed record and, you know, sang it away. And because I'd been tinkering for a while, when I said, okay, that's it, and we pressed stop, I thought I'd given him 4, 5, 6 different versions.
Yeah.
And we listened back, and there was literally only a take and a half of it. And it was there, you know, but it was very raw. I was almost in tears singing it, you know.
Oh.
Very close to. And I come outside out of the room, and there was a little crowd gathered in the control room, and they were all listening. It was a lovely little welcome for people I didn't know, you know.
Isn't that something? What a great feeling.
Yeah, it was lovely.
It's an amazingly emotional song. It's incidentally the video from Houston Station.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gas. And you must have done it in the middle of the night, did you?
We did, yes.
Yeah,
and we had some great people working on it. Dervla Walsh, who's, oh my God, she's an amazing woman, dynamo. She's been directing episodes of Fargo in the States and Handmaid's Tale, yes. Big international. She's fantastic, and she was great to work with on that, you know.
She's no stranger to this parish either.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, she's terrific talent. But it's a gorgeous video, but the emotion of Arrivals is something. And to see the empty seats in the train, I don't know, it really works as a visual accompaniment to the song. It just really works.
It was a great plan and idea. We thought Natasha Waugh came up with that whole concept.
Really, yeah.
You know, based on the narrative of the song and now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The song was recorded and written before any of this ever happened. But
and yet it's a song for our time.
It seems to be more poignant just now, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. It's a song for our time. I'm dying for you to come and sit in front of us someday and have the chats like
I would love that.
We've done over the years.
Because we always in the West in my little house, and
yeah.
I was going to say to you this morning, there's no such thing now as texting you on the way and saying, Marty, I'm nearly there, I'm caught.
No, that's right. stuck in traffic as usual, exactly.
You know, yeah.
No, it's a very different one now. Well, look, I can't thank you enough. I just want to say that this is a work of absolute beauty. It is just so good. And I'm hoping before too long we'll be able to see you on a stage, you know, with giving us this, because it's very special, and we've been playing it at home, and everyone is, you know, and you know, there's my age and down to 27 in my house, and everyone's loving it. So you're an absolute star, actually. You really are,
Mark. I love talking to you. And
not at all, my friend. And it's album of the week, so no need to send money anymore. I have enough now. I don't need any money. And good luck tonight, by the way. Good luck tonight with the live
stream. Thank you. Oh, I want to tell you another just little last parting note. Our little fella here just turned 3.
Yes.
And when we'll be getting him to brush his teeth at night, you know.
Yes.
And we're at that stage where we're bribing him with treats all the time, you know.
Were you? Yeah.
And so he says, when it's at that point, he's like, so you'll give me a Smartie in the morning?
Smartie in the morning. That's brilliant.
And we give him a Smartie when he gets up. Because
oh, that's lovely. What's his name?
His name is Lundov.
That's right. When he arrived before. Well, God bless him. A Smartie in the morning. We send him a moustache. Listen, keep the faith, Declan. God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Lots of love, Marty. Thank you.
You too. You too, sir.
Through dark summer nights on his racing bike, your great granddad might go killing. When our classes were done in Galway town, cycled home the miles between. And the moon overhead led him home as he sped, till the stars over Kinvara said, welcome. Run to be your own.
I dreamed of living here, where Atlantic waves neath Dungora's gaze keep the air so fresh and clear. I was 25 when I first laid eyes on where I knew I'd find my children's eyes and the stars over Kinvara. Said, welcome home. That first night I drove you and Mammy home, I pulled over in Ballandarine. I just had to pull in, I had never seen such a sky of gems that gleamed. Orion was out and the starry the night was on display over the burren, the road and the bay. There were 10 more lights that shone for each one of our own passed on, and I dreamed that my go-to was shining down. The stars over Kinvara said, welcome home. When the stars over Kinvara said, welcome home.
You've been listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.